Two balls and two strikes on him. Here's the pitch on the way. A swing and a belt. Left field. Way back. Blue Jays win it. The Blue Jays are World Series champions as Joe Carter hits a three-run home run in the ninth inning, and the Blue Jays have repeated as World Series champions. Touch them all, Joe. You'll never hit a bigger home run in your life.
How are we doing, guys? Welcome to episode 5 of Touch 'Em All, a baseball analytics podcast. This is the official podcast of TouchEmAllAnalytics.com. My name is Caleb Whittemore. I'm the founder and executive editor for Touch 'Em All Analytics. Today on the podcast, we're going to talk about a couple of things. We're going to start out with a future value rankings. That is a statistic that I have came up with in the recent weeks to answer the question of what player should you build your team around. And then after that, we're going to get into the NL West playoff race. So to start off, I want to look at something that I call future value rankings. This is a statistic that I have came up with that sets out to answer the question, if you could build a franchise around any one player, who would it be and why? So the way I've done this is I've done it through WAR this year. So this is not considering past success. This also is not considering players in the minors. This is just current MLB players and who would be the best to build around. So it takes their WAR so far this season and then divides it by their age. So what that's doing is, one, it's obviously taking their performance from this year. And then the younger you are, the less it's being divided by, so the higher score. So the younger the player is, the better their score is going to end up. So for example, like the top of the list was 34.4. That was Mookie Betts. So he has an 8.6 WAR according to Fangraphs so far this year. He's only 25. So essentially, I took his 2018 WAR, times it by 100 to get 860, and then divided it by his age, which is 25, to get 34.4. That comes up with what I think is a good statistic that helps measure value of a player and rank them as it pertains to who is going to have the most value going forward, not just so far in their career. So to look at kind of the top players in the list, I'll go down through the top 10. Number one with a score of 34.4 is Mookie Betts. Number two is Jose Ramirez at a score of 32. Number three is Mike Trout with a score of 30.77. Number four is the Indians' Francisco Lindor with a score of 28.33. Number five is the Astros' Alex Bregman with a score of 27.92. Number six is the Athletics' third baseman Matt Chapman with a score of 25.6. Number seven is the Mets' Jacob deGrom. With a score of 7.4, he's the only 30-plus age player in this top 10. Number 8 is Manny Machado, formerly of the Orioles, now with the Dodgers, at a score of 22.8. Number 9 is Aaron Nola with the Phillies at 22 even. And number 10 is the Indians' Trevor Bauer, at a score of 21.85. So there's a pretty substantial gap between 1 and 10 on this list. The guys like Mookie Betts, Jose Ramirez, and Mike Trout seem to stand pretty far above. One thing I was surprised with is I thought Mike Trout would be higher on this list. Mookie Betts has had a very good year. In fact, the best year so far. And he is a year younger than Trout, so that is why his numbers came out a little higher. A couple other guys that I personally like in the top 25. Luis Severino comes in at 15 with a score of 19.5. I like him a lot. He's obviously pretty young. Ozzie Albies comes in at 21. He's the youngest player in the top 25. He has a score of 17.62. Aaron Judge was another interesting one. Last year he would have been a little higher. Obviously hasn't had quite the same season this year, coming at a score of 19.23. And Andrew Benintendi at 23 years old comes in with a score of 19.7. So I did rank the top 200. There's going to be an article out breaking down some of the top player statistics along with the full rankings list on the website in the next few days. I wanted to get this out here first as a sneak peek. It did take me a little longer than I was hoping. I was really considering whether I should add a couple other stats like WRC+, OPS, UZR, a couple other stats like that. But the big issue for me was if I didn't just use WAR, it was going to be hard to calculate pitchers and hitters the same. They're almost going to have two different rankings. And I wanted the rankings to be the same, so I did just go with the straight universal WAR times 100 divided by age. The next thing I want to talk about is the NL West playoff race. So I did an AL West playoff race earlier this year with the Astros, Athletics, and Mariners. But now that we've kind of started to go down the stretch, the real tight race is actually the NL West with the Rockies, Dodgers, and Diamondbacks. So the Rockies currently sit at the top of the division. They are at 78 and 64. The Dodgers are in second at 78 and 65, down a half game. And the Diamondbacks are in third at 76 and 67, down 2.5 games off the lead. The Dodgers and the Diamondbacks are both in the wild card race as well, though neither of them hold spots. They are 1-3 games out of the wild card. But even if they were to make the wild card, that's, as we know, not a sure thing. It's a one-game playoff. Anyone can win it. So the emphasis on winning that division, where you may not make the playoffs if you don't, and even if you do, it's a one-game playoff. They're all definitely fighting really hard to win that division. Another interesting thing to look at overall in the standings is their last 10 games. The Rockies and the Dodgers are 6-4 in their last 10, where the Diamondbacks are only 3-7. So looks like the Dodgers and the Rockies are going to have the best chance as they're trending in the right direction, while the Diamondbacks are clearly not. So now I want to look at the three teams individually. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at their batting, pitching, and fielding from a team standpoint, followed by a few individual highlights. So to start off with the first place team, the Rockies, they are, as a team, responsible for 10.6 WAR, WRC plus of only 85, so below average hitting, batting average overall of only 254, 181 home runs. Obviously, they're playing in Coors Field, so that number is going to be high, playing half your games in the most hitter-friendly park in the world. From an individual batting standpoint, their top guy is Nolan Arenado. He has 32 home runs with a WRC plus of 131 this year, 4.7 WAR. Another guy that was towards the top of that future value rankings that I was just talking about, he actually comes in at number 22 with a 17.41 ranking. Matt Holliday has also had some solid numbers for them in only 37 plate appearances since being signed. He has a WRC plus of 168 with 2 home runs. Not bad, helping give them a little spark as of late. Trevor Story is also having a very good season with 31 home runs, 77 RBIs. As you know, if you followed baseball statistics, his strikeout rate has always been sky high. It is at 25.9%, highest on the team. He has been in the 30% for strikeout rate before, so that is a improvement for him, but still a little too high in my opinion. But having said that, even with that 25.9 strikeout percentage, he has still managed 124 WRC plus and a WAR of 4.4. Imagine if he can get that number down to like 18%, right around where Nolan Arenado's is, he could be an otherworldly player. On the team pitching side for this team, they are responsible for a WAR of 15.3, a batting average and balls in play of 300, strikeouts per nine of 8.6. They are allowing 4.5 runs a game and have a very high lineout percentage at 70%. Another reason for this, obviously, their pitchers throw half of their games at Coors. They're going to give up a lot of home runs, a lot of line drives just because of those factors. Team pitching, their best pitcher has been Kyle Freeland, followed close behind by John Gray and German Marquez. All three of those guys have started 27 plus games. The interesting thing is Kyle Freeland is averaging only 0.82 home runs per nine innings, where both John Gray and Marquez are averaging 1.1 to 1.2 home runs per nine. So he has found some odd success with limiting home runs at Coors, which is interesting. From a team fielding standpoint, the team has a UZR per 150 of negative 1.1. Not great, for sure. Their defensive rating is a -9, but they have had some bright spots as well. So individually, DJ LeMahieu and Nolan Arenado are both above average defensively. LeMahieu has a UZR per 150 and 9, Arenado 3.5, David Dahl, the right fielder, of 19.4, Ryan McKinnon in limited use, 18.8, Ian Desmond in 17.4. Those guys only playing 100 to 200 innings, though. Not anything like Arenado with his 1,100 innings, LeMahieu with his 930 innings. So their defense, they have some bright spots overall, not great. That'll happen when you have a guy like Charlie Blackmon playing over 1,100 innings with a UZR of -18.6. A guy like Ian Desmond with a negative UZR playing 900 innings, or a guy like Trevor Story who has been tearing the cover off the ball but has a negative UZR with over 1,200 innings. So a lot of real good and a lot of real bad defensively. Next team up in second place is the Dodgers. Starting off with their team batting stats, their team is responsible for about 25 wins just by hitting alone. Their batting average is .245 as a team with a WRC plus of 106. So overall as a team above average compared to the league. 200 home runs, which is very good considering their park conditions. Walk percent of 10.1%, strikeout percent of 22.7%, and a batting average in balls in play of 2.288. The one thing that I think could be improved for them is their on-base percentage as a team is only .327. For a elite team like that, I'd like to see it more like .360, .370. Their individual batting stats. At the list of the top of the war for offensive players is the one and only one of my favorite players, Max Muncy. He's got 32 home runs, playing all over the place for them, pretty much wherever they need him. Has a WRC plus this year of 157. That's tied with Justin Turner for tops on the team. Has 63 RBIs, walking about 15% of the time. Is striking out a lot, but that's normal for him, kind of like Story. Like I said, Justin Turner is their second best hitter. 3.4 WAR, 13 home runs. Followed by Cody Bellinger, who had a breakout year last year with 22 home runs. He has had some injury issues, but has still managed a very good 120 WRC+. All in all, this team has about 10 players who have played significant time for them who have a WRC plus of 110 or better. That's how you get a overall WRC plus for your team being that high. Now to look at their team pitching. They have some stars on their team and on the pitching side as well. Guys like Kershaw have dealt with injuries. But overall, their team is responsible for 17.8 pitching WAR, just over 9 strikeouts per 9, just over a home run per 9, ground ball percentage of 45.4, ERA of 3.45, so under 4 runs a game. They're good. I expect them, if I had to predict right now, I'd expect them to be a real contender with the Rockies. They may very well end up playing in that one-game playoff, but if they can get out of that wild card round, I could see them pushing for a World Series bid. For their individual pitching stats, Kershaw leads them in WAR at 3.3. He has only tossed 137 innings, which is a little low for him. ERA at 2.42, which is still dominant. They have Alex Wood, who's been very good. Ross Stripling's been very good for them. Kenta Maeda's been very good for them. Walker Buehler, even a guy like Rich Hill, has been solid for them. They have their superstar closer in Kenley Jansen. Having the heart issues, not really sure where that's going to go, but if he can play, he's dominant. Maybe the best closer in the game. From a fielding standpoint, their defense is pretty below average as well. Have a UZR per 150 as a team of -4.6. Individually, they do have some standouts. A guy like Manny Machado at third base slash shortstop has an 18.6 UZR per 150. Matt Kemp has been very solid for them defensively. Jock Peterson's been very good defensively for them. Kyle Fulmer, you know, and then after that, there's not a lot of real good defensive work for them. A few guys that are playing regularly are really bringing it down, but it's working for them. They have good pitching, good offense. Defense is kind of being carried. The last team I want to look at, the third place team at 2.5 games out at this point, is the Arizona Diamondbacks. As a team, the Diamondbacks offense is responsible for 13.5 WAR with a WRC plus only of 85. So not great defensively. They're stealing a decent amount of bases with 70 or 69 on the year, 152 home runs. They're striking out at a pretty high clip at 23.4%. Only a 290 on batting average and balls in play, 238 average. Individually hitting, pretty easy to guess. Paul Goldschmidt is leading their team in offensive WAR, 298 average, 33 home runs, 149 WRC plus, very good all around. David Perrault has been a solid player for them as well this year. Probably not picked by a ton of guys to have the year he's had, but WRC plus of 127 with a 297 average and 26 home runs. They've really carried the offense for them. It's a pretty significant drop after that. Not a lot of guys you can depend on every day offensively. Next, to move on to team pitching. Their team has had very solid pitching all around this year. 16.9 WAR, an ERA under 4, close to 9 strikeouts a game, less than just over 3 walks a game, just over a home run per game. Not bad overall. This has definitely been helped by guys like Patrick Corbin, Zach Greinke. Both of them have good WAR, with Corbin at 6 WAR, Greinke at 3. Corbin striking out over 11 batters per 9 innings in his 180 innings pitched, with less than a home run, actually close to a half a home run, and just over 2 walks. Greinke's been solid as usual. Also, guys like Clay Buchholz out of nowhere recently and Zach Goldie have been very good for them. Defensively, the team is just below average with a negative 0.2 UZR per 150. This, like most teams, has a lot of real good and a lot of not so good in it. Guy like Devin Marrero, who's been up and down for them, close to 200 innings. He has a all-star caliber defensive UZR per 150 rank with an 18.7. Definitely not an all-star with the rest of his performance, but that's been very good for them. David Perella has been not bad, above average. After that, you're looking at a lot of not very great defensive players. Paul Goldschmidt, just above average at first, and then a lot of very below average defensive players. So it should turn out to be a good race down the stretch. I'm not doing full predictions just yet. That'll hopefully come in a couple of weeks. But if I had to predict right now, I would predict the Rockies win the division with the Dodgers getting one of those two wild card seeds and the Diamondbacks being left out of the mix by a hair. So that's going to start to wrap it up for today. If you liked the podcast, please feel free to tell a friend, leave a review, subscribe to whatever you're listening to this on. Definitely follow us. Our website is www.touchemallanalytics.com. That is touchemallanalytics.com. Twitter is touchemallbb. That is touchemallbb. Facebook and Instagram are Touch 'Em All Analytics, spelled just like the website. Definitely feel free to contact us for questions or comments. I promise I will get back to you. You can do that through social media or our website. You can also email us any questions or comments. Our email is touchemallanalytics, spelled like the website, at gmail.com. If you have any analytics-related questions, I'd be happy to answer them to you and over the podcast. If you enjoyed what you were hearing about the player rankings or are looking for any other things like that, definitely check out our blog. I'm going to be posting an article on those player rankings in the next few days, but there's already a good amount of writing up there on analytics if you're interested in more. I know it was a little more than a week this time. I'm back at school just trying to get into things, but I am hoping to do another podcast the end of this week or the beginning of next, so probably a little less than a week this time. In the next few weeks, probably not the next podcast, but as the regular season rolls down, I am going to do a playoff prediction podcast like I've hinted to, so definitely be looking out for that. So yeah, that'll do it. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I will talk to you next time.
A swing and a belt, left field, way back, touch them all, Joe. You'll never hit a bigger home run in your life.